you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. He alone is the reason for us to make this connection, to come together and do this. And we're just excited about that. Excited for each of you that take the time to tune in your radio station or wherever you get this segment from us and listen. And thank you for that. May God bless you. Kevin this week is still in Florida. I don't know if we're ever going to get Kevin out of Florida. Good morning, Kevin.
You may not. Good morning, sir. It's a beautiful day in sunny Florida.
Yeah, I mean, Florida, it's the California of 60 years ago, man. I mean, it's just, people used to sing California, here I come, right back where I started from, how cool California. Yep. Now it's Florida, here I come. Well, folks, we continue with a verse-by-verse study, an exegetical study, to do this exegesis, to look at this exegetical study and to look at verse-by-verse. And we find ourselves talking about miracles right now, sign miracles. So we're missing a couple because we covered them in the book of John. But today we got the coolest miracle to look at, and we have a lesson from that miracle. And the miracle is the healing of Simon Peter, or Peter's mother-in-law. And there's some real cool lessons I think you'll find in that miracle. You'll see a lot going on and a lot we can learn from. And so I want to take that word intercession and dig that word apart a little bit. And I was reading over in Hebrews 7. I just read this to Kevin just a moment ago. It says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." He ever liveth. Over in Romans 8:27, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." I am so glad that I've got a Savior that makes intercession for me. I am so glad that I have people like you folks in my life that intercedes on my behalf, that pray for me, that are willing to say, "Man, Doug, I read out there that he had COVID. I've had it like 4 times. You know, I'm Doug COVID Carriger, to be honest with you. There was a bad run of COVID with me, but this is what I know. Every time something was listed on the internet, you folks were praying. You guys were looking out for me. And prayer does a bunch of things, but one of the great things it does is it goes up to God with communication. You're actually having a communication with your Heavenly Father and showing him, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're showing him, "Hey, I got this all together because you're first in my life, and I know I got to go to you to help Doug because no one else can. You alone can make a difference. You alone can save lives. You alone can unscramble eggs. You alone can fix relationships. You alone can take a heart of stone and make it tender. You alone can save people." And I mean, when we go to God, the first thing it does is it shows God that it's all about him. It's not about us, that we trust him. The second thing it does, and I think this is cool where intercession comes in, it goes out to the world in good works. Your prayer, it matters. Praying for somebody, praying for Simon Peter's mother-in-law, we'll read about how that changed things, or interceding on her behalf, going out of the way to make a difference. And Kevin, I'll tell you, I think the prayers of God's warriors, I think the knees being worn out of God's warriors are the reason I'm here today, and I thank God for them.
Well, how true. You know, that's just good, because there are so many situations going on with just trauma that there needs to be an intercessor. And the scripture says that God wondered, he saw that there was no man, excuse me, the pollen is kicking in, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Yeah. "Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him." So the Lord looked, ultimately, Jesus Christ is our intercessor. He's the advocate. But it's the desire of God to look down and find someone who would be an intercessor. What that means is someone that would come betwixt. That's what the word intercessor, I think, is pasha in in the Hebrew, in the, as far as that's what I just quoted. But the, you know, speaking of Hebrew, the first occurrence, you know, I like first mention. It's just interesting to me. First, it's a facet of Bible interpretation. You get a pretty good idea of what God's thinking. Isaiah 53:12. Therefore, will I divide him a spoil with the, excuse me. I can talk. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So this is talking about, you know, interceding. It's oftentimes interchanged. I notice people will use it interchangeably. It's not necessarily interchangeably, but it's related to the word intervene. Intercede, intervene. And what we're, when we're praying, oh God, intervene, oh God, intercede, we're kind of praying for the same thing. We're saying, God, please, you know, we're actually doing the interceding, and we're praying that God would then step in the middle of that thing. But in a sense, biblically, intercession, the meaning of which is to impinge, meaning to thrust yourself upon something, to throw yourself in the middle of something. Kind of like the someone that stepped, you know, there's a fight going on out in the street, you know, road rage, and you just watch a video of something like that, and you just wish someone would stop and step out there and say, stop. No, of course, you don't know what you're going to get if you do that, but it's good to, you know, carry a big stick. But the idea is impinging, getting in the middle of something, stopping it, throttling it, making sure it doesn't go on anymore. And when we go, when people are going through something, God is looking at people in whom his son dwells to agree with the son of the heartbeat of the son of God, which beats inside of us in the Holy Spirit, to agree with that and say, oh, I feel that burden, because the Spirit, by the way, does give us the burden of God. He shall take of mine and he shall receive of mine and give it unto you. Talking about the Spirit takes the burden of God, puts it on our heart, and we respond by saying, oh God, something's got to be done. And so we impose ourselves in that situation, and we say, God, I cannot go to this place. I cannot be there, but what yet I can go there in prayer by interceding. And when we cry out to God, it makes a big deal that we are imposing, impinging, interceding, intervening in this situation. God's like, that's what I'm looking for. Someone that cares about something like he cares about it. And then God says, okay, that's no problem for me to step in. I'm glad somebody cares, Doug.
Yeah, no, that's good, man. In the Greek word, we had a study this years ago in the book of Romans, entoukis. And entoukis is the same kind of idea, to entreat in favor of or against, to stand in the way, to put yourself in harm's way and say, I'm interceding on behalf of this, exactly what you said. I'm going to stop this road rage. I'm going to, you know, I am going to be part of it. I'm all in. I agree with this, God. Would you help these people? Would you do, isn't that powerful to know that first of all, we serve a God that intercedes on our behalf. We have a Spirit that intercedes on our behalf, but to know there's men and women in this world who care so much about people that you'll find them on their knees begging a wonderful God and interceding on our behalf or others' behalf or unsaved people's behalf or missions' behalf. And I'll tell you, folks, I'm so excited about that. I'm excited that we get to talk about that. And you know, Kevin, what I was thinking about too is how many times have you been broken down on the side of the road in your coach life, you think?
Too many times. By the way, I forgot to set my timer. Tell me when I should clam up here. Going down the road. Yeah, there's times, well, talking about people interceding, we'll go down the road and people will, you know, I just know God is intervening on our behalf because people are interceding on our behalf and preventing stuff from happening. And when that tire blows out, it's a big deal when you got a camper. And when a tire, I mean, we had a tire go out on a 40-foot travel trailer one time. And that when that thing blew out, you just talk about doing a lot of damage underneath, making that thing rock back and forth, swaying.
Yeah. Folks, I'll tell you, intercede on behalf of our brother being on the road.
Taking care of. Yeah.
You went out for a while, brother. I don't know if we lost you or you stopped talking. So I think
I kept talking.
I felt like there was a pause in there for effect. I just want to let you know that we lost you there for a couple seconds, but I said, dear folks, keep on praying on Kevin's behalf. You were talking about a trailer. Either. Yeah, I'll tell you, brother, we got a microphone deficiency going on. But hey, folks, listen, we're going to go ahead and do what we have to do with the radio stations, and we'll be right back with you. Don't go anywhere.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
Well, praise God, as we continue on with, the healing power of Christ, the intercessing power. And we find ourselves in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 30 through 31. But it says, but Simon's wife's mother, so Simon's mother-in-law, lay sick of fever, and a nun they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Can I tell you, Simon's mother-in-law is laying in bed with fever, sick, had the first iteration of the coronavirus a couple thousand years ago, that kind of thing. Who knows what it was, but they thought they were losing her. And they got the word to Christ. They got the word there's something wrong with Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and she's afflicted. She need to get to her. And then the power of Christ healing, Christ goes to her and he healed her instantaneously. That's his divine nature. That's what God can still do today. That's the role of intercession on someone's behalf. That's finding yourself saying, man, this woman, Simon's mother-in-law, this great cook, this great woman, this woman who has everything going for her. Lord, we need to pray for her. We need to see that. And then the immediate response. And boy, God can heal immediately. God can change things immediately. I remember I went to an emergency room one night. I was in Fort Drum, New York. We had planted a church up in Theresa, New York, and I got a call in the middle of the night from a friend of mine named Dave, and he told me his brother-in-law had a massive heart attack, and the paramedics up in Alexandria Bay, New York, said he wasn't going to live. And they had taken him, by helicopter, Samaritan Hospital, there in Watertown, New York. And I went over there, it was about 2 a.m. I got on the elevator and I had my Bible and I got off at ICU, got over there as quick as I could. And all the nurses just pointed to the end of the hallway. And as I went into the walk into the room, this one lady grabbed me and said, he won't be alive in 30 minutes. Whatever you're going to say, whatever you're going to do, he will not be alive in 30 minutes. And I remember I went busting into the room and I grabbed him by the hand and I immediately prayed, God, heal this dear brother. And it was quick. And I said, brother, listen, I said, they're telling me you've heard it. I said, they're telling me you're not going to make it. And I said, you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you need to know now. And over the next few minutes, he prayed to receive Christ. And I said, dear brother, is there anything else you want to pray about? And he just said, God, I've wasted it a whole life. 68 years, I'm laying here, God, they say I'll be dead in minutes. I got tubes coming in and out me. I got, they got paddles right there to revive me. And he says, God, I'd like my kids to see a Christian dad. And folks, I want you to know he went to heaven last year, 20-something years later. Oh, God, wow, can change things. God changed him. He sat up in bed. Nurses are coming in. They're turning down the oxygen. Nobody knows what's going on. You got to have faith in Jesus' healing power. That new saved Christian, be like that new saved Christian. Be like that brother at Samaritan Hospital there in Watertown, New York. And another lesson we got to learn, I think, and applies to us today, Kevin, is the practice of intercessory prayer. you know, we're called on. God tells us to pray, and with all supplication and prayer, be that person. Be that person, Kevin. We need to be that person.
Yeah. You know, the picture of intercession in the Bible, and it's here too, is someone standing between two parties and, you know, the mediator type of picture. And the word daysman in some of the Old Testament is used. It's, a daysman was brought in as a mediator to put one hand on one party and say, okay, what do you have to say? Then put his hand on the other party and say, okay, it's gone through me. And he passed things along and from one to the other, and then he gave his thoughts on it, and he just worked with them. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is coming between, you know, there's a situation, the guy's headed toward death. And Doug, you interceded. You stuck yourself between him and death, basically, and said, oh, God, I pray that death would not come to this man's bed, basically, in not so many words. And I pray this man would not go to death's door. And as it were, you in prayer negotiated an option for that God's will might be accomplished if he lived. And the man responded and did his part and said, my kids need to have a Christian dad. And God worked with it. So you were an intercessor really between God and that man, and between that man and death. And it's pretty cool that God honored it so fantastically. Jesus in this scripture is a great example of someone that said, Simon's wife's mother, that would be his mother-in-law. By the way, we know Simon was married. The first Pope Peter was married. Otherwise, why would, if you didn't have a wife, why in the world would you want a mother-in-law and not a wife? So that would not be a good situation. So obviously he had a wife, though she's not mentioned or addressed. So his wife's mother is sick, and Jesus said, let's go interpose herself in this situation. And he was able to heal her quickly. And the picture is really, and you mentioned that you read that word, anon, they tell him of her. So anon means quickly, very in short order. And those things are all through this book, Doug, of the book of Mark. And talking about intercession, Mark is a book full of intercession. It's a book full of those kind of little terms. For instance, in our chapter that we just read, you'll see the word straightway, immediately, forthwith, anon, immediately, straightway. That's just all I highlighted in that first chapter. Why is that there? Because Mark, this is exciting to me. Mark pictures, behold the servant, behold my servant. Mark is a magnifying glass on Jesus, the servant. John was a magnifying glass on Jesus, the Son of God. Matthew is Jesus, the King. Behold the King. Behold your King. Behold my servant. Luke, behold the man. Behold your God is John. So we're looking at Jesus just going around. And listen, as a servant, that's what we are. The Bible says serving God in season, as servant fervently. That means we're going around, we're looking for situations every day to interpose ourselves in and to say, let's pray. Let's pray. Doug, we pray before every episode. Let's pray. We're intervening. We're interceding. We're imposing, as it were, ourselves and saying, I don't care what this means in my life, what this costs me. I am stepping between people like Jesus was lifted up between heaven and earth. We're stepping between heaven and earth, as it were. We're wanting to pay a price. We're wanting people not to go to hell. We're wanting people not to take their lives and hurt themselves and hurt their families. Doug, I had a situation a while back where a guy was just ruining the lives of his family. It was horrible. And he learned it from his dad. His dad was a knucklehead. I just talked to someone at Subway earlier today and said, yeah, I'm going to go see my dad soon. He's getting out of prison. I just thought, wow, there's trauma all over the place. But this guy learned from a bad dad how to wreck a family, and he was doing it. And I remember at one point, God gave me the spirit of supplication and prayer, and I broke down after this guy was such a knucklehead in my presence. When he left, I broke down and said, God, please fix this man or I die. Seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
And God did it, saved him gloriously the next Sunday. So praise God, Doug. It's real. God lays it on our heart to pray and interpose, and he works.
Yeah, he sure does. What a great, great story. What a great example. You know, and I just want to say this as we get ready to go off the air today is we always have to remember how to respond to God's grace. And Peter's mother-in-law teaches us that. Respond with service, respond with grace, respond and just move out for God. If God gives you a little more time, you know, give it back, man. Just be out there, pay it forward. We sure do love you, mm-hmm. folks. We hope you have a great night. Make sure you come back tomorrow as we look at unwavering faith. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.